When you know something good, don't you want to share it with somebody else? If you find something that works, that's good, don't you want to share it with someone? Like a new detergent comes out on the market and it works fantastically, don't you ladies want to call up your relative or your friend and say, "Hey, I tried such and such, and it works just like it says it works." Don't you want to? In other words, when you find something that works in an age of unworking things, I think that most of us want to share and tell you that, "Hey, this works." And I want to tell you this morning something that works. It works because not only does the God book tell me I'm to do it, but I know it works because I have tried it. And I guess that's the best testimony. And many of you have tried it too. So I ask this question for my subject this morning. Is fasting for today's church? Is fasting for today's church? Now, when I look up the word fast, I find that it means to afflict the soul or to afflict the self. But the afflicting is not negative. The afflicting has a positive side to it. The Bible gives general references to fasting, and the Bible gives duty. It is a duty for a person to fast. And I hope that before we leave in just a few minutes, that you will go away knowing something about this. It's not mystical, but there's something that happens when the praying is coupled with the fasting. I turn to Joel chapter 1 and I read in verse 14 these words. Give orders for a fast. Call an assembly like we're doing right now. Gather all the leaders together, the Sunday school teachers, the church officers, the deacons, the deaconesses, and all the people in the church. Get them all together, and then you give an order for a fast. You say, "Hey, we're blowing the trumpet. It's time to fast." Chapter 2, verse 12 says, "But even now, says the Lord, repent sincerely, return to me with weeping and fasting and mourning. Let your heart show sorrow. Tearing your clothes is not enough. Return to me with fasting." You see, fasting is calculated to give a note of urgency to a particular situation. When you pray, God is hearing your prayers. But the scripture says that if you fast with your praying, something else is going to happen. Jesus said, Matthew 6:17, "When you fast, do not fast so other people will know you are fasting. Only your Father, who is unseen, will know that you are fasting. And then your Father, who sees what you do in private, will reward you." These are promises in the Word of God. I don't know how many of you have ever fasted in your life. Some of you have, I know. Some of you have never done it in your life, coupled with the praying. But I want you to believe that when we finish, that it's what God is asking for the people to do today. He is asking for us just to call for a day of fast. Now, would you turn to Matthew 17 in the pew Bibles? Matthew 17, verse 21. I want us to read this verse together. Matthew 17, 21. If you are using the pew Bible and you can, if you find it, just lift up your hand. Matthew 17, 21, pew Bible. Chapter 17, verse 21. Find the 21 first. There's verse 20, and what'd you say? Page 24, no, page 25. 17. Chapter 17, verse 21. Do we have it? Anybody, everybody? Chapter 17, verse 21. What do you mean? You're kidding. You can't. You mustn't have an incomplete Bible. There's verse 19, 20, on through 20. What do you mean there's no 21? Our text is Matthew 17, 21. It says right here on my notes, Matthew 17, 21. Okay, I got 20. I got bad eyes, but it's 20. There's 22. Where's 21? What do you mean it's not in there? Well, it's got to be. If there's 22, there's got to be 21 somewhere. Find 21. Can anybody find 21? Okay. Matthew 17, 21 is not in the Community Church Pew Bible. But Matthew 17, 21 is in the King James Translation, and it is in many of the manuscripts. But it is true, it's not right here. But if it were here, here's what we would read. This comes about by prayer and fasting. Turn to Mark 9:29. Let's try that one. Well, we're going to find out. 9:29. It's the same story that Matthew 17 records, because three of the gospel writers tell the same story. The disciples have been asked to heal this fellow with the evil spirit. They could not do it. They went to Jesus and they said, "Hey, Master, we cannot heal. You've given us all power to heal, but we're not healing. What's wrong?" And Jesus says, verse 29, "Only prayer can drive this kind out. Nothing else can. But if you're using another translation, you will read the words, 'Only prayer and fasting can drive this kind of a negative unclean spirit out.'" So I got to thinking, maybe if it's not in the scripture, I shouldn't be reading that to you. But it is there. It says by Jesus that it comes about by the prayer and the fasting. Now here's my point. We have prayed 24 hours. We need to couple with our praying diligently our fasting, because it is calculated to bring a note of urgency to our praying. It's a duty. It's giving way to the physical so that the spiritual nature of you can be edified and built up. Take an inventory, if you will. This past week, how much time did you give to the physical? You got bathing, combing your hair, taking care of yourself. You've got eating, you've got dressing, you've got sleeping, the list is endless. All of these things you did for what part of your body? What nature of your body? For the physical. Now Jesus is saying there is something else you must do, and you must take care of the spiritual part of your body, which comes about by fasting. We spend our time selfishly on the physical nature, and we spend little time on the spiritual nature. We think an hour in church Sunday morning, or two if you come to the non-traditional service, or Sunday school and church, maybe the midweek hour, maybe a prayer thrown here or there up into the sky, maybe an occasional look into the book is good, and it is good, but if this is all the time that we're going to give God, then the spiritual part of our body is going to shrivel up. Because that which gets the attention is that which is going to be built up. Now Jesus says fasting gives attention to the spirit, to a side of your life. Biblical background is very simply this. In great distress, people have lost their appetites. They have abstained from food. Hannah, who was greatly distressed on account of her childlessness, the scripture says, wept and did not eat. Anger did the very same thing. Ahab did not eat because he was heavy and displeased, the scripture says, with Naboth's refusal to sell the piece of real estate. David demonstrated his grief at Abner's death by fasting. David defends his fasting when his child was sick. He said, and the scripture says, he was sort of criticized. You know, he fasted because his little boy was sick. But when his little boy died, he stopped his fasting. "Why'd you do that?" And he said, "I did that because while he was alive, then I fasted so that God in his mercy would answer my prayers and restore the health of my child. But now that my child has died, then I do not need to fast anymore for that particular reason." He was fasting for a cause. I feel that the scripture shows that in the New Testament day, it was part of the New Testament church. It's done some wonderful things for people. Well, the disciples said, God, why can't we do this miracle? And Jesus said, it's because you didn't fast. So if you're asking this morning why I don't get this or why I don't respond to this and why my prayers sometimes just hit the ceiling and bounce back down, maybe it is because you are not having fasting with your prayers. It's a biblical doctrine. You abstain from food. You abstain from food. What was the cause of the fall in the Genesis account? How come this world got into such a mess? Why is it that sin rages today rampant? Why is it? What was it as a result of? Eating. It was food that caused the fall. It is food today that causes the fall of mankind. And Jesus says, if you will fast, you are humbling your soul before God. You are saying, hey, this isn't the big me after all. You will find that if you fast, you will chasten your soul, like in Psalm 69:10, chasten my soul with fasting, says David. So let me ask you, would you write on the tables of your heart right now these five things? It's what fasting will do for you. Number one, fasting shows obedience. Two, fasting gives the digestive system a rest. Three, fasting demonstrates the mastery of man over his appetite. And four, fasting develops faith. And five, fasting crucifies unbelief. All believers are supposed to fast. Now, the Bible doesn't set up regulations or rules as to how long you do it or how often you do it. It just says that you are to do it. It's like the Lord's Supper. It doesn't say how often we do it, but it just says as often as you do it. Let me tell you when you ought to fast this week. And if you can identify with any of these seven things, then you should fast. You should fast when you are under chastening. You should fast when you're under judgment. You should fast when you are in need. You should fast when you are worried. You should fast when you're in trouble. You should fast when you are in a spiritual conflict. You should fast when you are desperate in your prayers. And all of these seven things are supported by seven different scriptures. So since fasting is so prominent in the Bible, why don't we fast more often? I'll tell you why I don't fast more often, because I get hungry. And I don't fast because I want to eat. And I don't fast because, well, maybe sometimes I think, why spend the time to fast? But I'll tell you this, when I have fasted, not only have I felt better, but I have felt in my heart that God was doing something through me, in me, and to other people. And He's heard my prayers. There are over 35 accounts I counted this past week in the Bible where people have prayed and fasted together. And there are things that happen when you pray and fast together, benefits that you will just never know when it relates to other people. But all of the people in the past days who have been great Christian warriors and great Christian saints have been people who have believed in this idea of fasting. Now, the fast may be partial, or the fast may be otherwise. You may fast from certain kinds of food, or you may fast from all foods. You may fast for a short duration or for a long duration. In the Bible, one person did it for 14 days. 9 people fasted in the Bible for one day. 3 did a fast for 3 days. Daniel did a 7-day fast. And 4 men fasted for 40 days. Moses, for 40 days he did fast. Elijah, for 40 days he did fast. Joshua, for 40 days he did fast. And Jesus, for 40 days did fast. 40 days. Can you do it? Sure you can do it. Any healthy person can fast for 40 days without injuring their body. Now, I don't think all of us should go fast 40 days, but I'm telling you that you can. You can medically do it if you are healthy, and it will not hinder you. The hunger is the first day or so, and then after that, you've got over the hump. I see some heads are nodding, so some of you have fasted for 3 days or longer. And even on a one-day fast that I do for certain situations and certain people, when my watch says it's 12 o'clock, my stomach says it's time. Well, my stomach got nothing, and it let me know. It painfully let me know, but I said, I'm sorry. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. It's not that he called me to do the fast like he may call some of you as he has, but it's when I say, hey, I'm going to spend this 24 hours in fasting. And I know for a fact that once you get over just a little hunger pain, you start feeling good. In fact, if you went close to the 40 days, you'll discover that your breath would be just as sweet as a baby's breath. Why? Because all the toxic poisons would be out of your system. Fasting fills and fits the mind for the highest expectations of religion, and it leaves it wholly free to communion with God. You see, we are made up of a body, we have a mind, and we have the spiritual nature, and we have the physical nature. When all the attention is given to the physical nature and not to the spiritual nature, we got problems. When we pollute our temple with food, then we are not allowing the spiritual part of our temple to grow, and it becomes polluted with the food. Now, I know this for a fact, that everybody here, except 3 or 4 probably, have had a fast recently. All of you sleep last night? Did any of you get up or walk in your sleep and eat? No. If you slept all night, and I'm giving room for the 3 or 4 who didn't, who got up and ate. If you are those people who slept all night, you were in a fast. Because the word fast, I said, means to abstain from. So you abstain from food, and the first meal you had this morning was called what? Breakfast. Break the fast. You broke your fast. Now, in days gone by, people believed that when you were asleep, God would commune with you. And I believe that too. Spiritual dreams. But he communes to you when you sleep, when you are not eating. You're in a fast. So therefore, it seems to me to be able to say to you that then when we fast, we are prohibiting the food to come into our body, and we are allowing ourselves to be in the very same position that we were when we were asleep. We were in a fast, so that God can commune with us. That is why I believe we should be doing more fasting. When we do, Jesus said, don't let anybody know you're doing it. Dress as you would normally dress. Appear as you would normally appear. Do not let the world know that you are in a fast, because your Father which sees in secret will reward you. There are times for national fasts. There are times for church fasts for a particular situation. And in the Bible we read that when there was a public emergency, the people were called together for the fast. My friend, we are in an emergency today. We're in an emergency. And we need to couple with our praying, fasting. And God is going to honor it. Now again, let me give you three benefits of your fasting. It's going to help you to receive the truth and the power from the Holy Spirit. Fasting has a humbling kind of effect. Secondly, fasting will help bring your bodies into subjection to God. And three, it's going to help you in the spiritual battle in which you are engaged. Fasting will lay bare the opposition that exists between God and the carnal nature of man. So when we pray, it's good. But when we pray and fast, it's even better. Keep a diary if you like. Discipline yourself to a systematic fast. I believe that God is calling us to the fast. Wouldn't it be great if every day of the week there were people in our church fasting for the ministry of our church? Who knows what would happen? The church filled, people being saved every service, people joining the church, baptizing in every service. What would happen if, beside our praying, we decide to do what the guidebook says and fast with it? What would happen? Only God knows what would happen. I think He's calling us now to the fast. For some of the people in our church, it's going to be a new discovery. For others, it's going to be a recovery. And for others, it's going to be a rededication to a step that's already begun. Notice the purpose of our fasting as we conclude. It's the mortification of sin. Is your mind distempered right now? Is your heart hard? Is your grace weak? Or your corruption strong? Does pride and envy and malice and the love of the world or other things, our filthiness of this world, or the flesh of the spirit, prevail? If so, then fasting is your duty. Let me encourage you to do these things. Number one, determine a day that you're going to fast. For your family, for your church, for your business, for yourself, whatever. Determine the day. Say, Lord, come this next Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, it's going to be a day of 24-hour fasting. I may start after lunch, I may start after supper, I may start after breakfast, but I will go 24 hours. And don't cheat like this one person did. This person, it was a pastor too, said that he didn't have much trouble fasting, and I thought he cheated because he ate a lot right before the fast started, right up to that moment, and he said, that tides me over. And so we got into a little argument. You're cheating. If you are trying to be tied over, then you're not in the fast at all. It's just when you normally eat breakfast, eat it, and not a large one at that, but what you normally eat, and then after you say you're excused from the table, then that's when your 24 hours begins. Go 24 hours. My friend, God will bless you for that. So first of all, determine the day. Number two, consecrate the fast to the Lord. Say, Lord, I am doing this for you. And if you're hungry during that time, just say, Lord, I praise you for the pain. You sure have had more pain than this on the cross for me. I praise you for the pain. I'm going to use this to glorify you. And every time my stomach grumbles, then that's the time for you to praise the Lord. Number three, and this is important, don't accept condemnation if you fail to make your fast. If you say, I'm going to fast for 3 days, or I'm going to fast for 1 day, with or without water, whatever you want to do, and then you don't do it, don't take a guilt trip. Don't say, oh, I blew it. God loves you just the same. Don't let Satan do a trick on you by condemning you for not making the fast. Keep the fast which God appoints for you. But don't be condemned by either weaknesses of your flesh or situational acceptances, like one person was fasting for a day and unexpectedly had an appointment, which meant there was a dinner involved, and it was such that the dinner had to be eaten. The person did not receive condemnation from that from the Lord. The Lord understood. So these things are very important. Determine the day, consecrate it to the Lord, don't accept condemnation if you don't complete it, and keep the fast that God appoints you. Don't be condemned by either weaknesses of your flesh. Let's learn together the dynamics of fasting. I'm asking you to pray with me. I'm asking you to fast with me. And so we're turning another page in the Bible at Community Church, and we're reading FAST. And therefore we're doing, and we are expecting the release of our prayers because we have prayed and we fast. You want to know where that verse is in Matthew 17:21? I'll tell you where it is. It's right with you right now. You are that missing verse. Would all the missing verses please stand as we pray?